Happy Thanksgiving. I'm assuming that that means one of two or three things for you. One, you're in a car going to someplace to eat, going in a car to get some stuff that you forgot yesterday, going in a car because you just want to get the heck out of Thanksgiving, or you are actually preparing the food to eat soon at Thanksgiving, or you might even be sitting down to eat Thanksgiving feast with WPKN in the background, which is makes you a very unique and individual person, just like our producer, Rod Richardson, here at Homepage Radio. Rod, how are you?
I am fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Well, I am in mid-turkey preparation, so I have left a turkey undressed.
A naked turkey?
Well, pretty much undressed, and okay. Then I'm going to clothe and swaddle and turn the turkey into food soon.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself?
I am staying out of the kitchen until cleanup time.
Could you come to my house?
No, thank you.
Oh, damn.
But I appreciate being invited.
Well, just for cleanup.
Yeah, that's exactly why I said no.
That's why you make the big bucks here at the greatest radio station in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and probably the world, WPKN. This is Homepage Radio, a place that talks about homes in a way which is not the norm. It's not about lifestyles of the rich and famous or how to create a dovetail joint or some other thing. It's basically about how humans interact with their homes. And today is a very special homepage because, by the way, it is live. This is not taped. This isn't a sub-host. This is live on Thanksgiving Day at noon. And what we're trying to do is make the connection between how we design things and how we use them in terms of entertaining. Because either you're going to be entertained tonight or you are entertaining tonight or you just have said, I do not buy into this cultural hegemony. But having said that, I know I am grateful. Rod, are you grateful?
At moments.
I would say that's accurate. But at this moment, I'm grateful. And I just wanted to read for you basically, a thing that I wrote yesterday because I was thinking about Thanksgiving and thinking about what it meant to me in a strange year of my life. And that's on a blog I write called Saved by Design that was actually proposed by the New Haven Register, and it still, I guess, is kind of managed by them. But on Saved by Design, I wrote something called The Terrible Beauty of Survival yesterday. And let me read it for you. On our one nationally historic, religiously based, but acceptably God-free holiday, Thanksgiving, I am here. You are here. We survived. Half of those who started out in 1620 survived to their landing in the New World almost 400 years ago. The people that met them, though, had lost two-thirds of themselves in the couple centuries before the Puritans arrived because other people from where the Puritans had been were actually left them living. So those remnants survived. We all benefit in survival. We all feel, see, and know here. But given some circumstances, that is blessed little given the risks. In fact, many of us believe not surviving gets you to a better place. And some of us live in terrible circumstances now. But we must go on. We must find a way to galvanize our desire. We find a way to bring that hard focus of going on into our lives. We find small triumphs in the haze of getting stuff done to get forward to survive. And like those who play in Thanksgiving high school football games, even pro games, or create and consume huge amounts of food today, the survival itself is often its own reward. Enough of those religious fanatics survived 397 years ago that millions of fanatics survive today and tomorrow. In the end, with the vagaries of so many unknowables before us, there is a joy in just getting through it. Just getting through Thanksgiving today will be a joy. And if there is joy, there is, because we're all humans, automatically, thanks. Very few of us know enough or have enough capabilities and capacities to actually control what we end with. But like the triumphant, all I and you achieve is due, in the end, to survival. So amid the chaos of the season, in this season of my life, I am deeply grateful for the terrible beauty of survival. And of PKN, and for people like I'm going to talk to you today, we're going to be talking to six different people who have done renovations of their homes, and I would assume we're doing something with them for entertaining, and maybe today, Thanksgiving. And on the phone with me now is Kate Bean. Kate, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Now, am I talking to you from Massachusetts?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my goodness. So, Kate, it is, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, it is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You know, and my assumption is that long time ago, when you renovated your home up in Long Meadow, when you renovated that house, entertaining had something to do with it. So tell me,
Absolutely. Tell
me something about your home, how you renovated it, and how you entertain.
Well, what we did was we really wanted to expand the opportunity to entertain, and we opened up our kitchen to the rest of our home. And in fact, we have at least 35 in our house right now.
No, come on. You're no 35.
Yep.
You win
every year.
That's amazing.
It's the most important holiday and most important day of the year for us.
What a gift it is to have you on the show when you are essentially being a wizard of a circus.
There is a circus. Yeah, lots of new babies and
wow,
awesome.
So tell me how the renovation actually you live in an incredibly wonderful old home. Tell me how living in that incredibly historic home changed when you renovated.
So we live in a house that was built in 1720, but we really sort of brought it up to the standards of living today, right? So we opened up our kitchen to a family room, which really made our function of our house work much better for today's lifestyle.
Hmm. Did you take out, we took out a lot of walls, if I remember correctly.
We did. We took out walls, and then we added a whole sort of corner to the house to make it kind of more welcoming.
Tell me about
a new entranceway.
Tell me about your kitchen. So when you renovated, tell me about the kitchen you inherited, and tell me about the kitchen you ended up with.
So the kitchen we inherited was actually a 1950s renovation in this 1720s house that kind of was the old school style kitchen. And what we renovated was to make it more welcoming and warm, with a big open island, and people love hanging out in it, and it's now more open to the rest of the house. Before, it was sort of a 1950s cutoff space.
And so today, in the 35-person maelstrom that is your life, tell us how the next few hours will eventuate. Where do you eat? How do you eat? What do you eat?
So my dining room table can sit about 14 around it. I have a front entranceway that's about 8 by 15, and I set up two huge round tables there.
Wow.
And we sort of all gather, and we have a lovely banquette area in our kitchen that seats about 11.
Wow.
So some people hang out there and eat as well.
So that's 25, and then you got another 10. So where do the other 10 like eat in the street, or do they go to the basement, or where do they eat?
So we also have an upstairs playroom, family room, and so some of the people in our gathering are teenagers, and they like to hang out up there by themselves.
Wow. So you've got bi-level Thanksgiving festivities.
We have bi-level, yeah.
And have you transformed to a three-generation Thanksgiving, or is it maybe four generations?
I think we're four.
Oh, my. Four generations Thanksgivings on two levels in Massachusetts. I think in Connecticut, they cut off Thanksgivings to about three generations in one level. I don't think they let you go much beyond that.
We're beyond that, yep.
Well, I do have one last question. Yeah. I do have one last question for you before you go back to, you know, herding the cats.
Okay.
Turkey, ham, or vegan?
We are turkey, vegan, and kosher.
Whoa. Is it glot kosher or light kosher, or how do you do that?
So we have a segment of our family that brings their own, and Whoa. Their Thanksgiving tradition is kosher Chinese.
You know, the reason I do this show is that I hear new stuff every time I do it. And I will say, Kate, having you on the show is bliss. And I release you now to be essentially filleted by the 7,000 people that are descending upon you. I love you, and you be good today. Happy Thanksgiving.
You. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Kate Bean up in Massachusetts with 35 people and a Chinese kosher Thanksgiving for some, a eat grub up in the room and talk about bad things probably by teenagers in the upper room, and then 14 stayed people living in the dining room while they eat, and another 11 being stayed and comfortable in the eat-in nook that is part of this place. So that's one type of Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking to some other people about Thanksgiving, but this is, by the way, in case I haven't mentioned it before, Rod, in case I haven't mentioned it before, this is Thanksgiving. I mean,
yes, it is.
I think it is.
All day long for some.
Really? I thought it was Black Friday is today. No, that's tomorrow.
No, today is Brown Thursday.
There you, or I guess if
or
you're...
Orange or...
Or Chinese Thursday. And today I do want to read to you something which is almost never read. And it's you'll have to bear with me. I'm going to try to do this in a spoken word friendly tone, because as you're driving along to grandma's house, or if you've got Chinese kosher food that you're taking to eat out with to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, we all trace this back to 1620, to the Puritans that landed in Massachusetts at Plymouth. And you probably might know that only about half of them made it. And you might also know that they thought they were going to be going to Virginia. Things didn't quite work out, but they did arrive. And when they arrived, they did actually take the mantle of self-governance up. The way they did that was something called the Mayflower Compact, which I shall read. The Mayflower Compact. In ye name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by ye grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland King, defender of ye faith, etc., having undertaken for ye glory of God and the advancement of ye Christian faith and honor of our king and country a voyage to plant ye first colony in ye northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in ye presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves create to a civil body politic, for ye are better ordering and preservation and furtherance of ye ends aforesaid, and by virtue heard to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time shall be thought most meet and convenient for all ye general good of ye colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, ye 11 of November, in ye year, ye reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, ye 18th of Scotland, ye 54th Anno Domini, 1620. Below that were 40 signatures about. They were all men. They were all the people that had rented the boat, did not mention the females, did not mention the sailors, half of which all died anyway. And that's not why, but that's one of the reasons why we have Thanksgiving today. And joining us today is yet another wonderful guest. This time is Kate Kumar. Kate from Madison, Connecticut. Kate, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
So tell me about your Thanksgiving. Do you have many people there?
We don't have a whole lot. There's only six of us, but my two sons, my niece, and a friend has joined us. And today, for the first time, we're going to do the deep-fried turkey thing.
Now, that's highly dangerous.
Well, I think what it is just like many things, if you don't drink a whole lot and follow the directions, you should be just fine. Our son, our oldest son, had lived in the South for a while and has done this a couple times, so I feel confident that he knows what he's doing, and all the safety procedures are in place. So the thing that's nice about it is that it only takes 3 minutes a pound.
Wow.
And I've always had difficulty getting the bird to come out on time. So you have all these other dishes, and I could never quite get the timing right. And I think this time it'll work out really well.
Well, even if it doesn't, just the spectacle of seeing this huge frothy mass of, 700-degree boiling oil that this thing is like churning and ought to be entertainment enough.
Well, you know, to your point, one of the things when we decided to do this, our son said, oh, it tastes so good and it's all this stuff. So, of course, we didn't have any of the equipment. Okay, you have to go buy the equipment. All right, you have to get the pot and the burner and all the ding-dongs that go with it. So that's like $80. Then we didn't have a propane burner, a propane tank. Okay, we got to buy the propane tank and we have to buy the propane. And then, oh, yeah, we have to buy enough oil, another $30, and then $50 for the propane tank. So, you know, it's like a $200.
It's going to be one of the most expensive turkeys ever cooked.
Right. But I have it in my budget under entertainment, just as you said, you know. It keeps everybody active, and then everybody's got, you know, kibitzing about, well, I don't know, is it go right side up or upside down? I don't know.
This is a more cosmic question. Do turkeys have a right side up? Or is it just, what the hell is a turkey? I don't even really know what a turkey is. In fact, I'm going to be reading something that Mark Twain wrote about turkeys. And you realize that this has been a very long-term conundrum for people, that the fact that, you know, that they occasionally will have a Swanson TV dinner made of turkey, but they really won't ever, they almost never make turkey except today. Do you eat turkey other times of the year?
Occasionally we'll have it for Christmas. And sometimes, depending, for Easter.
Wow. So, question for you. I know you renovated your house. I helped you do it. Tell me how entertaining is different now than it was before you renovated your house.
Well, the kind of the theme for the things we did, we had, as you know, five different areas that were changed a little bit. And the whole thing was letting in light and bringing, you know, the kind of the outside in. And what that did was we had a little bump out made that's really quite small. It's only, you know, like, I don't know, 77 square feet, something like that. But what it did was let us have little niches where people can come and just kind of be cozy in a little area. So now we have, you know, three or four, five in the good weather when we can be out on the deck, where people can just kind of exist in a comfortable space, curl up, read a book, look at a magazine.
Wow. So you're going to sit down with six to a turkey. Now, do you have any other requirements, vegan, ham, anything else, or is it just the turkey?
Well, no, of course we have other dishes, naturally. Well, one thing is my heritage is Polish, so we make what we call kapusta, which just means cabbage, but it's cabbage bean and has some kielbasa in it, and you cook it for a long time. It has very nice flavors, and it's very nice because it because it's a little bit sour, not very sour, it counters the cranberry.
Yes.
And makes a nice balance, you know. And then, of course, we'll have salad, and we have the almond green beans and the orange carrots.
Wow.
And stuffing. And
wow.
My niece makes this unbelievable sweet potato with pecans in it dish. So we'll have all of that stuff. And then she made a wonderful 12-layer tort.
Good grief.
And so I've got help. My son's doing the turkey. My niece is helping with these other things. Then we got all these other little dishes.
Wow.
So we are having a feast for sure.
Well, I will let you get back to that. Thank you. It's a gift of your time from Madison, Connecticut, Karen Kumar. Thank you so much for letting me share this with you.
Always nice to talk to you, Duam.
Be good. So it is, by the way, in your car, or maybe you're waking up. Maybe it was a really good night last night and you're waking up right now. Maybe you are actually in deep trepidation because you're going to be seeing some relative that you haven't seen in 15 years and just can't believe it. Maybe you've gained 10 pounds and you're terrified of somebody noticing, or maybe you've lost 40 pounds and you're going, I hope they notice. But it is Thanksgiving. And the denominator of Thanksgiving, of course, is food. And so I'm going to read to you now something from Dave Barry. Dave Barry is kind of a cultural critic, and this is an article he wrote a while ago called We'd Rather Eat Turkey. Of course, not everybody is comfortable with the idea of eating turkeys, which are, let's face it, living organisms like dogs or celery. You may wonder, is there a more humanitarian option that you can serve for Thanksgiving dinner? Well, there certainly is. It's tofu, a semi-food-like substance secreted by soybeans as a defense mechanism. Tofu can be used as a high-protein meat substitute, as well as a denture adhesive or even a tile grout. To its natural state, tofu is tasteless and odorless, but if you form it into a turkey-shaped lump, season it well, add gravy, and bake it for two hours in a shallow pan at 350 degrees. You can also use it for minor highway repairs. Of course, no Thanksgiving dinner is complete without pumpkin pie. Here's an easy recipe for this delicious traditional dessert. Using a dangerous knife, cut off the top of the pumpkin. Number two, inside you will find a mess of stringy, stinky, slimy pumpkin innards. Scoop these out and discard them. Three, now discard the rest of the pumpkin, because the simple truth, obvious to anyone with half a brain, is that no part of the pumpkin looks, smells, or tastes anything like a so-called pumpkin pie. This is why nobody actually makes pumpkin pie. Everybody buys it in the supermarket. The question is, what does the supermarket put in there? The Food and Drug Administration is investigating this, and according to one informed source, Dan Rather, they think it's tofu. Well, joining us now is Jane Pearson. Jane Pearson has a home in Ledyard, but also a place in Rye. Jane, are you on the phone?
I am.
Where are you?
I'm in Rye.
Yes.
But I actually, when I saw your questions, I thought maybe we could talk about Ledyard, where we also have spent Thanksgiving.
We can talk about anything you want. It is a gift of your time. So tell me what you did at Ledyard, and tell me how it changed the way you entertained at Ledyard, and maybe even give a brief history of the home, because it really is an 1870 family.
1876, yeah.
1876 family compound that was brought into the 21st century. Tell us about that.
That's right. It was a farmhouse that's been in my husband's family for more than 300 years.
Wow.
We did a gut rehab with your guidance. We kept the original house and footprint intact, but replaced the plumbing and wiring. The reason I wanted to talk about the farmhouse is because we did the kitchen and back area with entertaining in mind.
Yes.
What was a dark, old, small kitchen with a table in the center that was used for preparing food and dining. You blew out the back wall. The dark kitchen became a cozy seating area with a tulikivi. What is that?
Tulikivi. Yes, a little tiny stove.
Yeah, okay, a wood-burning stove. And it opens now onto this big, bright space with a high ceiling and one of your signature Duo Dickinson inspirational windows and a wall of windows above the kitchen sink facing a field and the woods at the back. We have a reclaimed elm countertop attached to an island. And I guess I remember when you first put the stove on the island, and I was worried about people putting their hands on the stove and, you know, and getting burned. And then someone told me about induction cooktops.
Yes.
So that changed our lives. So now the cook can be at the island looking out onto the rest of the kitchen and the seating area.
So you find that creating this kitchen place has changed the way you entertain from the original house, because actually you can cook and entertain in the same place versus cooking while people are entertained somewhere else.
Exactly. And maybe my favorite part of the renovation was that you made a beveled corner and we put a screen porch, which is something I had always wanted because so many beautiful summer evenings were ruined by mosquitoes. And so now the whole area opens onto that screen porch. Wow. And it's just changed our lives.
Well, here's the most important question. How many people are with you for Thanksgiving this year?
We have 9 people. And to your point about the Food and Drug Administration investigating pumpkin pie, I've learned that millennials will not eat Cheese Whiz.
They just won't.
They won't eat anything with Cheese Whiz in it. So.
Really? That's one of my staples. I have Cheese Whiz 3 times a day. God help us. And what's the dessert today? Are you doing pumpkin pie for dessert today?
We have pumpkin pie that I don't know. It's kind of halfway pumpkin pie because my husband and my son's girlfriend made the crust and they used canned pumpkin. So does that count as store-bought?
Well, I think that might be what's made in the supermarket, according to Dave Barry. So there we are.
Okay. So same deal. So we're having that, and we're also having chocolate mousse cake.
And how about you doing turkey, ham, vegan?
Turkey.
There you go, baby.
Spatchcock turkey.
There you go. Hey, it's great talking to you, and I will look forward to having turkey with you there someday.
And we look forward to that, too, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to all those kids.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So it is, by the way, this is the Thanksgiving show at Homepage Radio on WPKN. WPKN is a unique station in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It is unique because it is 100% listener-funded. There are generous, wonderful people that sponsor different programs. But the core of support here at WPKN are who you're listening to, a volunteer person who believes in the spoken word, believes the fact that their venues like this are needed. And the idea that money is needed, support is needed, is something that this station deserves. So go to WPKN, the website. And if you're feeling thankful for this station, for this show, even for me getting off the air in half an hour and saying good riddance, if you feel thankful for anything, just go there and donate to WPKN, because every dime you spend makes radio like this. And in talking about things on the radio, I really wanted to talk initially about, I will talk about Mark Twain. So Mark Twain wrote a piece way back when, about 4 years before he died, and I think it was in 1906. And in that, he dealt with the common obsession that you've now heard from several people on the radio with me right now, the common obsession with turkey, and the fact that turkey is something that we in Connecticut are now, because we've lost apparently a bunch of the predators of turkeys, we have lots and lots of wild turkeys that roam around in these weird gaggles. That is correct, I hope. Somebody should let me know. But I think it is gaggles of turkeys, or maybe it's flocks of turkeys, or maybe it's prides of turkeys. But anyway, lots of turkeys and their weird strutting strangeness. And he prided himself, Sam Clemens, Mark Twain, prided himself on being able to hunt turkeys. Now, he had a gun. I don't know if he's a member of the NRA, but he has had a gun, had a shotgun, but he wanted desperately to be able to actually find turkeys and grab them. And so what he would do is take his gun, but he would go into the woods, and he would, according to Hunting the Deceitful Turkey that he wrote, a piece that he wrote in Harper's, he wrote the following words. He said, "I often got within rushing distance of her," meaning the turkey, "and then made my rush," he recalled. "But always, just as I made my final plunge and put my hand down where her back had been, it wasn't there. It was only 2 or 3 inches from there, and I brushed the tail feathers as I landed on my stomach. A very close call, but still not quite close enough, that is, not close enough for success, but just close enough to convince me that I could do it the next time." It is interesting that turkeys that we have usually just once a year are also these strangely available and yet hard to master humans. Not humans, birds, for humans. So welcome to Homepage Radio, and on the phone right now will be someone that we'll be talking to. And what I would like to do in the meantime, before we get a hold of that person, is I would love to talk to you about Julia Child. So Julia Child is an icon of the cooking world, and actually it made food for many, many people and worldwide, so they could consume them. But she also celebrated Thanksgiving. She also had her own Thanksgiving dinner. And her own Thanksgiving dinner was not what you'd expect from somebody who wrote The Art of French Cooking. It was really kind of an American normal holiday in mid-20th century America. And that was actually talked about by a woman named Julia Moskin in the New York Times in 2015. And her quick little description of Thanksgiving is something that really is wonderful in terms of our view of the holiday. So this is Julia Moskin's Thanksgiving, the Julia Child Way excerpts. At the height of Julia Child's fame in the 1970s and 80s, Thanksgiving guests often felt the need to tell her all about it. "The phone rang all day," said Cheryl Julian, now the food editor for the Boston Globe, who celebrated Thanksgiving dinner in the Child's home in 1976 and 1977. Every time she hung up, it would ring again, and it would be another total stranger with a turkey problem. No matter how busy, Mrs. Child would hand off whatever kitchen task she was doing, take the phone, and talk the nervous cook down from the ledge. "This could be nerve-wracking for her guests," said Mrs. Julian, who sometimes choked under the pressure of whisking a vinaigrette or topping and tailing green beans for the author of Mastering the Art of French Cooking. But Mrs. Child refused to unlist her phone number or turn her phone off. Instead, she embraced the role of National Thanksgiving Commander-in-Chief. "Whatever they seemed to be saying, she usually just told the callers not to worry," Miss Julian said. This Thanksgiving scene illustrates details about Julia Child that have sometimes been forgotten since her death in 2004, that she remained entirely approachable even at the height of her fame, and she was famous as an expert in American home cooking as well as in French cuisine, and that she was especially fussy about what people ate at home, even her home. And although Mrs. Child devised a famous complicated deconstructed turkey to solve the eternal problem of white meat, dark meat cooking time, she usually roasted a whole bird, Norman Rockwell style, at 325 degrees until done. She preferred an unstuffed turkey to better control the cooking. When Mrs. Child and her husband Paul lived in France in the 1950s, they didn't go to the great lengths when necessary to cook a traditional Thanksgiving meal, said Alex Prudhomme, Mrs. Child's great-nephew, who helped her memoir, My Life in France, just before she died in 2004. Eating turkey was still unheard of in France. She said they would, or actually Prudhomme said, they would have oysters and champagne and call it a night, he said. So that's the way Julia Child would have Thanksgiving. So we are going to be talking now, I hope, very, very, very shortly to Amy Stefanowski. Amy is a person who has several places to cook and several children to cook for. They're all at various ages. Amy, are you on the phone with me?
Hi, Duo. Happy Thanksgiving. I am.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. So, so where the heck are you?
I'm across the street from you in Madison, right on Route 1. Where you will be, hopefully, when you're done here later today.
Yeah, it's not Madison in Bridgeport, but it is yeah. Connecticut. So tell me about your Thanksgiving. Tell me what you're doing today.
So we started our day with the first annual Walk and Wag, where my entire extended family met at Hammonasset State Park.
Wow.
We had about 25 people, 6 dogs, and we started with a just nice dog walk at Hammonasset. It was beautiful. And usually the JCs do their turkey trot at Hammonasset, but this year, for some reason, it's on the Madison Green. So we had Hammonasset all to ourselves. It was nice and quiet, and it was lovely. Then everyone dispersed, and we are coming back to my house in Madison at 1:30 and having traditional Thanksgiving with a regular turkey here in Madison.
Wow. So how many people are there?
So there will be 14.
Wow.
This afternoon. Yeah.
And so tell, you went through a renovation of your home. So tell me, in terms of how you renovated your home, how is Thanksgiving different now than before you renovated?
Thanksgiving, I think, is one of those things that as we age, we learn to appreciate more. And I think dining rooms are sort of the same thing, and I would put them in the same category. When I was younger, I didn't think I had a need for a dining room. But now that I'm older, it's probably one of my favorite rooms in the house.
Really?
Because that's where memories happen. That's where you sit and linger. No, most meals are done at the island or in a rush. But the dining room, we sit, we linger. We really have a good conversation, and I love it. So my dining room set has seen lots of people and lots of happy events and great conversations. When we lived in London for 7 years, it was there, and we would host Thanksgiving for our English friends, and that was always really funny
now,
to see their reaction.
That was really interesting because I just read essentially a piece written by Julia Child's, I guess it's nephew. And
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that when they were in France, they would simply not do American Thanksgiving. They would actually have oysters and fun and goodness. So I'm going to ask you, how did you find the turkey? Did you actually create a traditional American meal? Is the turkey different in London?
It was. The first year we did it, it still had those twills or what are quills stuck in them. And I used a tweezer. I don't know why they didn't take all the things out, but I had to get a tweezer and pull all the last quills out. It was gross. So the first turkey I wasn't a fan of, and we didn't eat the skin at all the first year.
Wow.
I went to a butcher, I think. Then the next year, Whole Foods had opened in London, so I got lucky. So since Whole Foods American, they had everything we needed. So from that year on, we were in Fat City. It all worked out, and it was wonderful.
Now, in Whole Foods in London, do they spell the word food with an E at the end of it? Like,
no.
Oldie food?
No. It was regular old American Whole Foods, and they had everything we're used to seeing was there, so it was pretty terrific. And so from then on, it was easy and fun. They had the pumpkin pies. I heard you talking about the pumpkin pies. They had the store-bought pumpkin pies as well as the Libby's canned pumpkin, so we could buy that. They had the canberry.
Did you make your pumpkin pies too? Did you actually make them from scratch? I mean, from the cans, I mean, did you actually make them for people or were you able to buy them over there?
Over there, I bought them.
Wow. Whole
Foods. They were great. And my mom is in charge of the pies in America. So she does the pies, but the Whole Foods pies were pretty good. We could have made them. It's the crust I get stuck on more than the pie itself. The crust is hard.
My wife says that if you can make a good crust, you can make a good pie because the crust is about 90% of a pie.
100%. Your wife is a smart woman. It's definitely true. So I think that we could buy the frozen crusts over there. Maybe I did attempt it once. I can't recall about the pie situation. I just think I ended up buying them because they were easier.
But you thought the food that you actually made in London was a fair representation of American Thanksgiving cooking for your guests? And tell me what their reactions to that.
They loved it. They absolutely loved it. I'm trying to remember, there was one English guy there who had a really weird question. I remember thinking, what are you asking? And I'll try to remember it before we hang up. But they loved it. They loved just sitting around hearing the stories. You know, they didn't know about the pilgrims and, you know, the first Thanksgiving. So that was fun. And back then, my children were younger. We had little books about Thanksgiving. So we actually shared them with our English friends.
Really?
Learned about the first Thanksgiving. It was fun.
Tell me about, in terms of the Thanksgiving, tell me about how Thanksgiving is different for you than the other dinner parties you throw in the same space. Tell me how Thanksgiving has changed for you before and after, and how entertaining has changed in general in the house before and after the renovation that you did.
So I think, as I was saying before, I think that I do enjoy having a dedicated space for entertaining. Mm. The table's bigger, the chairs are more comfortable, it's more welcoming to sit and linger. And I think it did start for us in London when we started hosting Thanksgiving. Prior to that, my mom would always host, right? And we'd go to my mom's house. So this was the first time I hosted on my own. And we really enjoyed it. And it was just that the aspect of sitting and having a nice conversation with people. And the Brits are fantastic conversationalists.
Yes.
So we would sit for hours.
I heard they actually speak English, though, over there in Britain.
They speak English. And it's very, you know, they're very, there's lots of rules. You speak to the person on your right for half the meal, then you switch and speak to the person on your left. You're not allowed to sit next to your spouse. It always has to be boy, girl. So they build all these things into their dinner parties that are common to facilitate good conversation. And it was always great conversation. There'd always be lots of wine flowing. We'd go through lots of wine, cigars usually at the end, which, you know, not everybody likes. But it was just about lingering. So when we moved back, I wanted to make sure we had a dining room. And that dining room set from there has seen a lot of fun dining room. And when we were in London, my one sister would come over every Thanksgiving and she would help. And that was fun to have her with me. And now she and I spearhead our Thanksgiving here. It's hard for my mom, though, to give up the reins. So she, this morning, actually pushed us both out of the kitchen. Pretty much everything.
That means you got to clean up. Mom. That's sad.
What's that?
That means you have to clean up.
I have to clean up.
Oh,
but the
God.
Bird's already done because my mom showed up at 7:30 this morning. She made sure everything was done right. And the bird just came out a few minutes ago, and the house smells wonderful. But I think there is a space for dining rooms. You know, most of the year the dining room sits and it has, you know, either some child's craft project on it or science project or someone studying for something and it's spread out. There's always a use for a wonderful space, I find, where you can spread your things out and buckle down into a project. Or, like I said, if there's a birthday party, take it out of the kitchen and make it a little more special.
It is a real gift to have you here, and I will let you go back and assist your mother in her Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
It's good to talk to you.
Have a great day. Thanks for talking.
Thank you,
Thanks
Amy.
For calling. Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye. Well, in the ongoing flow of Thanksgiving folk, it is clear that this is a national consensus place. This is a time when the entire country takes a break on a Thursday, a work day, and basically brings generations together and eats food that is relatively unfamiliar except for this day, and focuses on eating. In that way, I think it is a good idea for us here at Homepage Radio, or for me here at Homepage Radio, to actually give you a quick clue about the first official American Thanksgiving and read you George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation of 3 October 1789, October 3rd, 1789. And this is a proclamation from George Washington to the country creating the holiday. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to
recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal efforts of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. Now, it went on to go on, but I think you get the flavor. The flavor is they'd been through a horrendous war. They came out, and they were thankful. I think we all have our wars. We all have our things that we're doing, and I think all of us are thankful. And I'm hoping that someone who's thankful is Nancy Daly. Nancy, are you there?
I am. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Now, tell me about your Thanksgiving. How many people are there?
Well, let's see. Right now, we have about 8 people, and I think that's probably what we'll hold with for dinner, and then people start to come in after that, in and out.
Now, you are up in the North Country, correct? You're up in Vermont somewhere?
Yes, I'm up in Vermont with our next-door neighbors, actually.
And this is a tradition? You do this every year?
We've actually done it for the past 3 years.
Wow.
So it's becoming, yes, it's becoming a tradition. But we always used to spend Thanksgiving at our house in Madison for many, many, many years.
And you renovated that house. I sort of helped you a little bit with that. But you renovated the house. Tell us the change. Tell us when you were brought up there. You know that house for your entire life. Tell us how you would entertain in the early years, the middle years, and now how you would entertain.
So the early years, my mother was a clone of Martha Stewart, so everything had to be perfect. And it was challenging because we couldn't sit on the sofa or touch anything until, you know, everyone got there. And it was, we had a galley kitchen, so very challenging to try to get out a large meal. And that really persisted until we had the renovation that you were part of. As you know, Dua, the original house was built in 1735 by Abraham Crittenden.
Wow.
And then my dad, who was an architect, added an addition in 1965 for my grandmother to live there. And then in 2010, we said, okay, we can't handle this anymore. And it really happened after a holiday where my nephew was helping us clear the dirty dishes. And the kitchen was so small, he said, should I just start to put them in the bathtub? And that's pretty much when I looked at my husband, and my husband said, yeah, I think it's time. So that was pretty much the final straw.
Now, tell us, in those early years, those mid-century years, tell us the sequence of dining. Tell us who was there, how many generations, how it would be structured, when, what time of day was it? Give us a window into mid-century Thanksgiving.
So we typically had an early afternoon meal, and my grandmother came, I had 3 grandmothers because my mother was widowed, so we had a number of older generation there. And then, of course, my parents, my aunt, my mother's sister lived in Clinton, and then I had another aunt in Baltimore and another one in Marblehead, Mass. So they would typically come, and then my father's mother, she would come with a bunch of her friends, and then my brother went to Yale, and he'd bring out some of his roommates who couldn't go home when we were from Hawaii. So it was pretty packed. We started with hors d'oeuvres, and a tradition we have is what we call the trailer trash dip, which is the sour cream and whipped an onion. And my grandmother would always say, stop eating that because you're not going to eat your Thanksgiving dinner. So, and then we'd eat about, I'd say probably about 2 o'clock. And then everybody would break up into the living room and, you know, watch football. My father loved music, so we listened to some Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, and then,
really,
yep. He had a pretty extensive system for back in the day with speakers in seemed like all corners of the house, and he
wow.
had quite a collection of Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey, and we had a pretty big foyer at the time that connected the two houses.
Yes,
would break out dancing in there. So
you'd almost say that the Tommy Dorsey helped you with digestion. I mean, if that was the
exactly.
after dinner treat.
Yes,
that's amazing. So tell us how
go
you
ahead.
Entertained after we expanded space. Did it change?
Oh my God, it was like you know, a rebirth. It was amazing. It just flows. As you know, we changed the floor in the kitchen. Well, we got rid of the galley kitchen and just totally opened that up.
Mm.
So I can stand at the island and I can literally see the post road. I can see a pond next door. I can see back of our
yeah.
woods that goes all the way out to 95. And I can see part of Green Acres Drive, which is the street to the right. And it's just got such a great open feeling, lots of natural light. And people can just flow. And, you know, they pretty much congregate in the kitchen, which is not something that happened when you have a galley kitchen.
Did they actually try to congregate in the old galley kitchen, which was tiny, tiny, tiny? Did they actually come back there and complicate matters for the cook?
Yeah, sometimes they would. It was tough. I mean, we even had one of those dishwashers on wheels that my mother had to pull out and hook up to the faucet.
Wow.
So there were a lot of jerry-rigged things to make it work. So it was a challenge. And more than two people in there, forget it. It was, you know, you opened up the oven, everyone had to get out. So
I mean, the one thing that was different would be you could have probably actually hooked up the dishwasher to the tub and probably brought all the dishes in there and it all would have worked out. You never would have done the renovation of your house.
Well, I don't know about that. The thought of having dirty dishes in a bathtub just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. So yeah, no, that truly was, that was the final straw that broke the back. So, but no, I it's a great house to entertain in, and I love the openness of it and the way everything just kind of flows now. It's really, and the way the old and the new just really blend well together.
Well, it's been a gift of your time. I know you've got to go back and engage in eating whatever they eat up in Vermont. I doubt it's turkey. They don't eat turkey in Vermont. They probably have something like elk or caribou, I think, way up north.
Yeah,
like that.
We snagged a turkey. So that's what we're having.
Okay. Well, take care of yourself and happy Thanksgiving. Nancy.
Happy Thanksgiving. Lots to be thankful for, and thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. And by the way, thank you all that have been listening to this on all of your trips and travails and all of your movements, either within the home or outside of the home. Maybe some of you have already eaten and are sitting on a sofa right now. It's basically digesting and tryptophaning into a different place. I think the extremity of Thanksgiving, the extreme distinction, having been held on a Thursday in the middle of the week and having so many people come from many, many places. 50 million people are traveling today on Thanksgiving. They're going to be coming to go to places, and oftentimes those places are homes. And homes are not designed to have 35 people like we heard from Longmeadow, Massachusetts. So homes sometimes have to be modified for very, very infrequent, rare occasions, once a year, several times a year, where the capacity of a home is not a family. The capacity of the home is everyone. Many generations, many food types, many different ways of looking at the world, shared in a place that allows commonality, but at the same time allows individual connection between people that don't see each other maybe for generations. Thanksgiving is a strange time. It's a time of high stress and also high love. So in this highly loving, highly stressful time, I wish you the greatest Thanksgiving. My name is Duo Dickinson. This is Homepage Radio on WPKN 89.5 FM on your dial. Thank you.